Well, good morning, V-Town. It's good to be with you guys today. I love you too. Love you guys, man. So I thought we'd talk about Jesus today. Is that all right? Yeah. So we're going to be getting into Luke chapter 11. Shocker. We've been there for a while, and we're looking at one verse. Shocker. It's kind of what we do here. We slow things down. So as always, guys, I hope you understand what we're doing here is discipleship. We're really trying to actually become like Jesus. So in order to do that, to look at this one verse, we're going to need to know the context of what's happening. We're going to be in verse 42. And the reason the context is important is we have a few times in the Bible where Jesus gets, I like to say, spicy. He's very spicy in this whole section here of scripture. A lot of times these are known as the woes because he's pronouncing woes on a group of people. So it's important to know that this isn't a sermon that he's giving. This isn't a speech out in a field somewhere. He's not preaching. He's not on the streets. In this particular scene, Jesus has been invited to a man's house for dinner. And this man is a Pharisee. And a lot of us that have any knowledge of Jesus or God's word kind of know that that word is loaded with a lot of connotations, is not a good person, which is really interesting because I want to make sure we understand that, you know, in Jesus' time, the Pharisees were the elite of the elite when it came to people that knew God, followed God, that you would go to for counsel. I think in modern day terms, it would be like Jesus sitting down with people like, maybe you think of like a John MacArthur, or if you're a Francis Chan guy, or C.S. Lewis, people that took their faith very seriously, okay? So he's having dinner there, and in this particular scene, what's fascinating is dinner really hasn't even gotten underway, and this group of guys, actually through the text, we can realize it's more than just one Pharisee there, they're judging Jesus. Jesus. So if you were here last week, we know that they noticed that Jesus didn't wash his hands before he sat down to eat. So if you're one of those guys that's ever been busted by your wife or your mom for not washing your hands, you're like, hey, Jesus doesn't always wash his hands either. I love these little things in the Bible. Jesus didn't wash his hands. And it was a big deal to these guys because according to their traditions, man, if you took God seriously and his law seriously, you didn't just honor the certain ceremonial washings. We're going to wash all the time and all kinds of things, right? We take this stuff really serious. Why wouldn't Jesus, this big time God guy, do that? And he knows what they're thinking and he begins to address them and basically say, you know, I want to tell you something, guys, that you're so concerned with these outside things and you're cleaning up all these things outside of your life that you've never really bothered lately to look inside. God's looking inside. And Jesus at this dinner party tells these men that they're full of greed and wickedness. Actually, one translation says self-indulgent. You're all about yourself. And so this is right where we pick up this passage. So again, I want you to imagine Jesus at dinner, and this is what the conversation is about over the table. So if you could look up Luke 11, verse 42, and stand to your feet. We got one verse we're looking at today. It's on the screen there if you don't have your Bible or your phone open with you. And it says this, woe. It's a word we don't really use a lot now, unless we're looking at something super cool. But he says, woe, W-O-E, to you Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. So you guys can have a seat. One verse. It's like 30, 40 words there. And again, what we're doing, we're in this little series called Religious Dangers, and we're looking for the danger. Did you see the danger in the passage today? I want to tell you, we got the same problem here today. Brian, Neil, and I, over the past week, we went back and looked at the records. The tithing of mint, rye, rue, garden herbs has been like nil, people. Like, what's going on, okay? We're sick of it. No, isn't it easy to look at these passages and think, like, what is happening? These guys are, like, tithing herbs, and Jesus is saying, whoa, like, what is happening? We can't really relate to specific things like that, right? But trust me, we can all relate to the danger that Jesus already tried to expose with the hand washing, and now he's also exposing with this issue of tithing these seemingly inconsequential herbs. The danger that we're talking about today is a little something in the church language we like to call legalism. Anybody ever heard of legalism? If you grew up in the 70s and 80s, you probably know a lot about legalism. And it's hard to define because it's not explicitly talked about in these terms in the Bible. Instead, we just see kind of scenes like this. But when we're describing legalism, it's interesting because really it's born from a good place. So it's really what we're trying to do here today in modern day America, 2025 America. What does it look like to follow Jesus? What do I dress like? Where do I shop? What station should I listen to? What station should I not listen to? Who should I hang out with? Who should I not hang out with? What does my lifestyle need to look like as I follow Jesus? Pretty important question, right? And ever since, actually even before Jesus, just people trying to follow God, people were sitting down saying, man, if we're serious about this, what are the things that we're going to do? And the Holy Spirit convicts us, right, in lots of different ways. So again, I grew up, you know, I was born in the 70s, grew up in the 80s. And as churches began to grapple with this, like, how do we raise our kids? What do we do with this Christian school? There was lots and lots of rules. Anybody remember these days? We kind of like laugh and chuckle now, but when I was growing up, man, because you didn't want to be like the world, we're not having our hair like those long-haired hippie drug-smoking people, right? You're going up above the ears because that's what little Christian boys do. And if you love Jesus, you won't let that hair grow long. You won't think about getting your ears pierced because we all know there's all kind of connotations that go with that, right? Born out of this good movies. So people in our churches, if you became a member at any Baptist church that my dad was part of this big affiliation called the GRBC, you would sign contracts that you would not go to the movie theater, that you would not drink alcohol, that you would not smoke or chew tobacco, all these things, literally. And if you did those, you could be kicked out of the church. It came from this seemingly good place, like we want to be different. We want to take our walk seriously, but all of a sudden, it became more about like separating rather than uniting in love. Taking a stand actually over the wrong things. And so our group of Pharisees, again, guys, this has been going on forever. They were known for so many things about not just what the law prescribed, what they called the Torah, but they would take it to the next level. So this very first thing that we're looking at, Jews did not have to tithe their garden herbs. You know, I want you to imagine, you know, going home today and dumping out your bottle of oregano, you know, and saying, okay, one for Yahweh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 for me. One for Yahweh, 1, 2, 3. How long that will take, but this is viewed as like this very pious, beautiful thing that you could do for Yahweh, right? We're going the extra mile, not just tithing our grains and our oils and our meats. We do the herbs. We don't just practice the Sabbath. We have sat down and debated, what does work really look like, okay? How far can I go from my house? Why could I ever even leave my house? What if someone's sick? Do I actually have to take care of them on the Sabbath? And they had these strict, meticulous ways to observe it to make sure they would not break God's law. Prayer, fasting is an integral part of any relationship with God. But for them, they didn't just pray in the morning or pray sometimes. They were frequently playing on the corners of the streets. They were frequently praying over people. They wanted people to know, hey, this is important to us. And we don't just fast. The Bible tells us these guys two times every week went on a strict fast. Bible reading wasn't just the norm for them. Most of these men had the whole Torah memorized. All of it, the whole thing. They were teaching it in the squares. They were teaching it to each other. They were arguing over the different traditions and how it could be out of their zeal for God. And one of the main things, and if you've been on the trip to Israel, you'll see this still today. They had these visible signs of their piety, of their devotion to God. So Orthodox Jews still wear to this day, they're called phylacteries, and they're little boxes that they wear on their wrist and they wear on the front of their head. And those boxes have pieces of scripture in there. They say, this is how seriously I take this. I want you to know I'm carrying, because the Bible says to put these on your forehead and strap them on your wrist. So they literally did it. And they wore these long tassels to let everyone know, man, we are set apart for him. But Houston, we have a problem. All of this. And wouldn't you look at this list, guys, and think, man, that's it. Is this bad stuff? This is good stuff. Jesus is not against it. I hope you heard in his woe there, he said, hey, listen, you should practice this stuff, but you neglected the most important thing. You somehow did all that, and you're doing all this, and you missed the whole boat. You neglected justice, the widow, the orphan, the alien, the immigrant, the prisoner, the lost, the lonely, the least. It's where God found you. And you've left them in the dust. And actually, this justice that we're talking about is the ultimate way to love God. In fact, you cannot love God without loving people. And do you see the danger today, my brothers and sisters? We're talking about men that had devoted their whole life to this. And isn't this what a lot of us hear? Just sit down with this. Just spend time with this. Just read this, and you're good. It'll change everything. And Jesus said, these men that did that, you are full of wickedness. I want to tell you something that's so sobering. This is one of the saddest scenes in all the Bible. This is one of the saddest things that happens to people. And I say it like this. You can know all of this. You can study it. You can show up every Sunday. You can get all the concordances and study sites and theology books. You can know all of God's word and never know the God that this word is all about. So what happened to these men? They missed the whole thing. Again, I talked about this, but Jesus already said earlier, you know what you guys are so focused on doing? You're so focused on cleaning up the outside. How you look to people on the street corners. How you look to people when you're counting those herbs out. That you've actually missed the heart of God. And that's to draw people into him. To love people like he loved you. And what I've noticed as a pastor, as a follower of Jesus, being in these Bible studies, what's so easy when we read these passages, and again, a lot of us know this, we're, you know, the Pharisees, like, here they go, those silly Pharisees, Jesus sitting right there. How could they miss him, right? How could they miss the whole point? Can we stop for a minute today and just ask, could that be true of us today? Pastor Jason came up with an interesting word last week. He talked about this fact that, you know, we're here. I mentioned it right when I started. Hopefully you're here for discipleship. You're here to follow Jesus. I'm a disciple of Jesus. But a lot of times when we look at our lives, if we're honest, don't we kind of look like the Pharisees at times? Don't we kind of act like them when we're looking out at the word and world? And he said, you know, it's almost like we're Pharisiples. And I wonder today if Jesus, in love, by the way, is looking out at some of us, and he's saying, whoa. And I want to tell you that word there again. A lot of times when people read it, they imagine Jesus blowing people's hair back. People love to talk about the angry Jesus. This word here has a deep connotation of extreme grief. This is breaking Jesus' heart. The people have missed the point. And so as I think about Christianity today, as I think about asking people, how is your walk with Jesus going? You know what most of the answers are? How we're measuring up? Pretty much just like these guys. Well, we're going to get back to giving, and I know you guys got the benevolence buckets out, and we donated an old couch to so someone that needed it, you know. And hey, listen, we've been coming to church, and hey, I make sure I go to life group, and you know, hey, my prayer life's not the best, but we make sure when we go out to eat, especially if it's out in public, man, we will pray. We don't care what the restaurant is, and I jump on Facebook and I make sure that I'm letting people know I'm praying for them. And guys, coming back to scripture memorization, teaching, studying the word. This would be, I would say, like the number one thing we focus on at Open Door, right? We're sitting here today to go through God's word, to have these things affect our heart. And visible signs of holiness, man, we've all got those in some ways, right? We got the cross tattoo, the cross necklace. We can wear earrings now, so we got the cross earring. You know, the different bumper stickers, our Chosen shirt, our Open Door shirt. And let's stop again. Are any of these things bad? No. Are they things we should practice? I would say yes. Unless we got our why wrong. Unless we miss the main point. So let me ask you today, guys, it's so important. What is your why? Do you think about that when you wake up at times? I hope you do. Because your why changes everything. Why am I married? Maybe some of you asked that this morning in a little spat with your spouse. Why am I married? But going back all the way, why am I married? What is this whole thing about, man? Why did God place me in this job, man? What am I doing in this field of work? Why am I sitting in this room today where this dude on stage is talking to me about woes and herbs? Why are you here this morning? Because, you know, you can do something that seems like the best thing in the world. You can do something that it could be viewed as so good, and your why can change it into one of the most evil things ever. Going back to all these things, guys, depending on your why, any of these can be used to advance the kingdom of God, to draw people into the heart of Jesus, or to repel people far away. I'll be honest, like some of these, again, is Jesus merch wrong? When I take guys out on the street and we do a Live It Out night and we're walking around, one of the main things I do is I say, do not bring your Bible and do not wear anything that has any religious association out there. You want to know why? I've had guys argue with me. Why would we do that? I'll tell you why. Because so many people have been burned by so many people wearing those things or hitting them over with the Bible. If they just see me holding that Bible, if they see me wearing this Jesus thing, they've already shut me off. My why is I'm not wearing it because I love. Would I tell people not to wear those things in general? No, but I know my why. There's times when I go out and I will intentionally, as a pastor, not pray over the meal. And you'll watch people like, oh, Pastor John, he's eating his pizza.
You're not going to pray?
I already prayed. You know you're allowed to pray to God alone and say, man, God, thank you for this pizza in your mind. But we think we have to pray out loud, right? You don't. Guys, your why can change everything. And I promise you this, man, Jesus is way more concerned with your why than your what. So much more. Because again, you could be here for very wrong reasons this morning. There could be another place where God wants you. Because what we're talking about, again, this internal world is, if my why is not done with love, if my why has not come with the heart of God, it accomplishes nothing, zero. And I mean whatever you do. Don't take my word for it. God said it. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but I don't have love. You ever seen one of those monkeys? It's like a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I think that was Candy back there. Thank you for the laughter, Candy. I felt weird clanging or whoever you were. Thank you for laughing. And guys, I want you to think about what God is saying here, what's happening. The good things that are happening that he says are nothing. If I have the gift of prophecy, and I can fathom all the mysteries and all knowledge, if I can wax poetic about theology and stand up here and preach, and I can have a faith that moves mountains, wow, who doesn't want that, right? But I don't have love. I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, if I give over my body to hardship, I'm serving. I'm out there doing the work so I can boast, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. Guys, your why changes everything. Your why changes everything. So again, and I'm literally wrapping up already, intentionally today. But I want to, before I do, I want to talk about some modern day herbs. And this may sting a little bit, guys, but we have to be willing to think about what we're doing versus what's going on the inside and what we're really showing to the world. So let me give you some of these modern day herbs that might pertain to you. And I just want you to listen to what Jesus might say. So you post scripture online, but you ignore your estranged spouse or sibling. You get lost during worship, it's your favorite song, and you're crying, but you're so triggered by that single mom that just can't get control of her toddler, and she's ruining the whole thing. You faithfully read through the Bible. You do your devotions every day. Yet you've withheld forgiveness from someone for years. You don't miss church. You don't miss life group. But you refuse to go to the family function, to the family reunion, to the office party, because you got a grudge, because you got a conflict in belief with someone else. You wear a cross necklace. You've got the "What Would Jesus Do" bumper sticker on your car. But you have no relationship with your neighbor. You use religious language around your church friends when they ask you how it's going, and you say things like, "I'm blessed and highly favored" in public. And then in the privacy of home or online, you're highly offended, you're highly divisive, posting cruel memes, making jokes about people, sometimes that you don't even know. You can name all the books of the Bible. You can name all the 12 tribes of Israel. You can name all the disciples. But you can't name the person that sits in the same row beside you in church. You can't name the woman that's sitting across from you in ladies group. You can't name the man who's been showing up faithfully for the past month in men's group, who's struggling with addiction and depression and anxiety. You proclaim that God has unconditional love for sinners. And then you proudly boycott businesses and athletes and people that endorse liberal and different views from yourself. You vote pro-life, and then you neglect the mom that lives on your street that could really use some childcare because she's trying to go back to school just to help make a living to support these kids. You take a bold stance against so-called lifestyle sins, all the while excusing your lifelong struggle with obesity, anxiety, addiction, depression. What legalism does, it chooses good things, right? We sit here and we think, I'm making these good choices. These are things that are more important than other choices I could make, right? But we're choosing what's more important, guys, over what's most important. Did you see the hierarchy there? Jesus says there are the most important things that you can do. And what's most important to Jesus is the lost and the least and the lonely and the crooked and the demon-possessed and the sick. He wants justice for them. He wants the love of God. And ironically, legalism masks as those two things again. Kind of coming full circle, right? I want justice for God too. That's why I vote a certain way. That's why I boycott these businesses. This is why I speak out against that person taking over our rainbow stuff, you know, taking a stand. And it sounds good. I do this because I love God. How did Jesus show the importance of the justice he's talking about and the love of God? Do we forget? Guys, do we forget? This is what's amazing to me. There are men, most likely, standing at the foot of the cross that were at that same dinner where Jesus, in love, think about this, guys. Tell him you're missing it. You're missing it. And he didn't challenge them to memorize verses. He didn't tell them to meet him in the synagogue. He sat there and he was pure love, and he was pure love all the way to his death. And that's where he found me. And that's where he found you. And that's where he's willing to go. And to me, it's so much easier, again, to make it about all the stuff that we want to take a stand for God for. And the hardest thing in the world is to think what he wants me to do is to be willing to love people the same way he loved me. And you know why it's true? Again, you're going to notice this in your life if you take this stuff seriously. The same thing that Jesus sees when he gets up from this dinner table. It says at the very end of this, and we're going to be talking about this for weeks, but that when Jesus got up, after God incarnate sat there telling these men that thought they were pursuing God, and he's sitting right there, this is what it's about. This is why I'm here for. This is why we suck here on planet Earth. They opposed him fiercely. No, we want our loss. No, we want to look good. No, we want to be on top. So guys, that's why today, as I was talking with Neil and Brian and some of you even this morning, it's interesting. Like, man, I feel like we're hearing the same message on repeat every week. With Jesus, you are. It doesn't change, people. There's no wiggle room. If you take this word seriously, man, if you love God, it should manifest in loving people. So we don't need another sermon about it. We don't need to sit here today and for me to keep droning on about the significance of mint and rue and what all these things were. We're going to end today because, again, we don't need to study about it. We don't need to argue about it. We don't need to sit here and just keep talking about it. You know, guys, it's time we need to start being about it. Being about it. You know, Jesus says something fascinating here. And again, people read this differently depending on how you feel about Jesus. In John 14, 15, you know, he goes, if you love me, you'll obey. You'll obey my commandments. You'll get it. If you love me, you're going to go out there and love people. That's how he summed up the whole law, guys. And as a pastor, you know what I love looking out here today? So many of you are doing the stuff. So I want you to hear me, like, we're in such a good place. I got to spend this last week, and I just want to list off some of the things that I heard. You know, when I'm doing men's group or getting together with people, I'm always like, hey, give me a story. Tell me how God's working in your life. We were sitting out here this past Tuesday, and I had one of our dudes say, hey, I saw this lady walking down the street. Thought she was homeless and pretty hot and thought she might need a ride, and I gave her a ride. It's the heart of Jesus. There was another one of our guys said he was out at a bar or a local place, and you know, as Christians, you can do that, right? Got to follow the Holy Spirit. But he said he noticed this woman sitting there, as he said, nursing a beer. And he thought, man, she looks lonely, like somebody, she just could use somebody to talk to her. And he said, John, I just sat down, I just had a conversation with her. And I just tried to be Jesus with my love, and I just watched this woman change. It's the heart of Jesus. We had a report of one lady that's been mentoring a young teenage girl here, and another lady that goes to our ladies' group seeing that example and being convicted about a young lady in her neighborhood. Both of these young girls that are kind of far from God, and they just want to meet them where they're at and be Jesus to them. We did a serving push a few weeks ago, and you know what? Some people took God's word seriously and said, hey, man, I'm going to sign up to do that. I'm going to hold some babies. I'm going to teach some little kids. I'm going to go down there and help love some of these teens coming in that don't even know who God is. Countless reports of different cards being sent out to people. People stopping by with meals for people that were sick. People that are grieving the passing of a loved one. We've got a man, one of my just personal heroes, who walks around with an oxygen tank, and he's been driving guys from Oberlin, Ohio, in a sober house to come out here to hang with some other Christian men on a Tuesday night and receive some love. It's beautiful, guys. So we're about to send you out today to go do some justice in the love of God. And you might be sitting there thinking, like, what's he going to make us do? Guys, that's why I love telling these stories, because listen, it's not about the what. I can give you a list, and we did. We compiled a list. I thought, I'm not even going to do that, man. I'm not. Because it's not about the what. It's about the why. Is you're going through your day today, today, why am I shopping, man? Why am I out the park right now? Why am I doing this yard work? Why am I hanging out with the kids? Ask your why, and God might want to change it. But it's not about the what, people. It's about the why. And so I want to just leave you with this final verse here, man. Colossians 3:17. Again, and whatever you do. Isn't that cool how the Bible says that? It's not some specific thing there. Whatever you're doing, whatever you're saying, there's the what, okay? Do it as a representative. Represent Jesus to the world wherever you are, man. Guys, have fun with it. This Jesus thing should be fun today, all right? Do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. That's the why. That's why we do it. Giving thanks to him. God, I thank you for my life. It was 100 degrees out there in Cedar Point yesterday, and I was out there with my 3-year-old grandson. It was his birthday yesterday. And my daughter and baby daddy and his brother. And did I want to be their people? Not really. No. Danette and I, but how can we represent Jesus to these men? How can we represent Jesus to this little guy? changes everything, your why. So giving thanks to him for your life, for this moment, for this opportunity to God the Father. Just a quick story on that as we were driving out there, just explaining how God can use anything. Here's my daughter, single mom, doesn't come to church, knows Jesus, but just phase of her life, right? And playing always, God help people. Just be Jesus to this girl. And she says, Dad, the coolest thing happened yesterday. This is how God works, people. Just on the driving out there. So I was in the grocery store line and with Nico, and they were getting some of his birthday stuff, and she was, you know, so excited, you're going to be three, you're going to be three, show me how many you're going to be three. And she said this older lady in line with me said, here's $3 for his three-year-old birthday. And my daughter is tearing up. I don't know if this woman was a believer or not, but my daughter said, Dad, no one has been so kind to me in so long. The $3 meant nothing. Some woman saw her as a mom with a toddler and handed her $3. And over 24 hours later, that's the moment she's telling me about. Guys, just go be Jesus. So I like to say this, man, if we remember what this whole thing's about, why am I up here today? Why do I do all this? Why do I want you guys to do it? I remember, man, I've been given what I didn't deserve. I deserved hell. I deserved punishment. I've been given a position with Jesus. I've been given an opportunity to do this. I've been given a life with you guys who I love. I've been given what I didn't deserve to live a life that I never dreamed. Guys, following Jesus, beyond my wildest dreams. Easy? No. But the ride is so amazing. And so I will love like Jesus loved me. That's my why. I hope it's yours too. So Father, as we go today, man, I pray in Jesus' name. Send my brothers out there. Send my sisters out there. Send our people out there, God. Let us be creative. Let us be fun. Let us be courageous. Let us be relentless, God. Because Jesus, when you show up one day, we want to be those people that when we say, why me? And he said, because you fed me. Because you clothed me. Because you visited me. Because you loved me. Man, Jesus, when? Every time. You did it for someone out there. Man, that was me. Jesus, let us be those people to find you today and to love others like that in your name. And we pray it in your powerful name. Amen.